Excellent. Let me have the horn of plenty this morning, according to the songs and the manifestations and the prayers. I went right along with what I want to share this morning because Sid's been doing a phenomenal job on Tuesday nights teaching Romans. And we've been in Romans 5, now we're in 6. And in that part of the word is our identification in Christ, our sanctification, our justification, our righteousness, and all those great things that are in the word. But I got to thinking about Jesus. Well, I think about Jesus Christ a lot, but I was thinking about him and what he accomplished. And then I got to thinking about what it took for him to accomplish that. So this morning, I thought we would take a look at what he did, what he went through to accomplish our salvation. So let's go to Isaiah 53, one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. This was the prophecy of the Messiah and what he would have to endure to accomplish salvation. And of course, Jesus Christ knew this scripture. He knew the scriptures. Always with him is, it is written. So he knew full well what was coming from the scriptures. So this morning, I just want to go over this because sometimes, you know, we talk about we're complete in Christ, I'm justified, I'm sanctified. But sometimes we forget what the Savior did to accomplish that for us. So I just want to take another look at this because it was really on my heart and it blesses me so much to get into the word concerning Jesus Christ the Lord. So chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And this is why. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and that word sorrows is pain, and acquainted with grief, sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was tormented. He wasn't just wounded. He was absolutely tormented for our transgressions. Now, transgressions is pertaining mostly to Israel because of the law. They had the written law of God, and they transgressed all the law. However, the Gentiles had the law of conscience, knowing right from wrong. My conscience tells me I don't want anyone to steal from me, so why would I steal from you? So Israel didn't uphold the law of God. They transgressed the law a lot and rejected God and showed rebellion against God and all that other stuff. But still, the Gentiles, too, had a conscience, and they were still sinners from Adam. Everybody was under sin. So in order for him to be our Savior, he had to take on the punishment and the death that we deserved since Adam's fall. All mankind was under sin. He was beaten beyond recognition. And I don't mean just beaten with somebody's fist. He was whipped with bones that were sharpened. They whipped his back. They tortured him. They absolutely tortured him. He was like no form or comeliness means that he was beaten and tortured beyond human recognition. That's why it says there is no beauty that we should desire him. They didn't even want to look on him. He was disgusting looking. His skin, his flesh hanging off from him. Unbelievable. For our salvation, because of our sin, Adam's sin, and anybody's sin, because we were all born under sin, we have sin nature. They beat him. Every devil spirit that the adversary has was there. And God allowed it. God allowed it because that was his plan of salvation. He was beaten beyond human recognition. Can you imagine that? That they didn't even want to look at him? And he was the Messiah. He had walked perfectly all of his life. Can you imagine what he must have looked like? They took whips to his back. His eyes, probably you couldn't even see that he had eyes. He was bleeding all over. You see all these pictures of Christ on a cross and he's got this little drip of blood coming out his sight. That's not it, folks. That's not it. By the time they got him to that cross, well, the tree, he was crucified like this. I can't even imagine being tied to something like that and nails pounded through my hands and my feet. You smash your finger in the cabinet door and you're, give me some ice. You know how, can you imagine? You can't imagine because none of us could ever do that. None of us could ever do that. They put nails through the nerves in his hands and his feet. And he was already beaten beyond human recognition. He'd been tormented and tortured all night long for no reason. They had nothing against him. They couldn't come up with anything. But that's what God allowed. And that's what Jesus Christ allowed. Verse 5, but he was tormented for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions, those kind of sins are outward sins. The breaking of the law, but outward things. He was bruised for, bruised. Yeah, he was bruised all right. He was whacked to death. I mean, his flesh stripped from him. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities, interesting word. Let me read it right from Bollinger. Bruised means to be crushed by a weight or a burden. That burden, he had the burden of the sin of the world on him. He was crushed by it, by that weight. Can you imagine his mental distress that he was dealing with that whole time? Sometimes we can't deal with anything for 5 minutes. A little mental pressure or stress. He had to deal with that the entire time this was going on. Iniquities refers to internal sins, perverseness and guilt, a distortion of heart and attitude. It is more than just what one does, but what one is. And we were all born with sin nature from Adam on. Nothing we could ever do about it. He had to do it. And he did it. I can't even fathom how he maintained his mind. He was so disciplined in his mind with the Word of God. And you know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, God was talking to him like, that fellowship must have been phenomenal. God strengthening his son in the garden so he could do this. But the man did it. The man did it. He was weighted down at that time with our iniquities, our perverseness, our guilt, our stubbornness, our refusal to believe. You know, he was burdened with all of that. It was God laid it on him. He was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. And he was a man. He was a man, flesh, blood, and bone. He was not a God-man with supernatural, you know, didn't hurt him. He was a man, just like Jimmy, just like Warren. He was a man. He had feelings. He had emotions. He felt every blow that they laid on him. Every whip that they whipped him with that tore his flesh. Every time they hit him, and God knows what that was like. God only knows what that was like for him. He felt every bit of it. You know, like I said, we stub our toe and we cuss. He felt every blow that was laid on him, and every devil spirit the adversary has was after him that night, that he was tortured. And God allowed it, and Jesus Christ allowed it. And he was a man, a man's man, you bet he was. But he was a man. He felt every single bit of it. And the mental distress, let's look at this. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That chastisement is a disciplined mind. And of our peace refers to that which brought about our peace. In other words, he had to so discipline his mind during all of that, steel his mind with the word, so that he could handle this, so that we could have God's peace in our lives. Because he was crushed down by the weight of all of our sin, all of our iniquities. That was the weight, the burden that was put on him, and he had to handle it with his mind so that we could obtain God's peace. Took it all on him so I could have the peace of God. And sometimes we get so unpeaceful. We'll never be tortured. We'll never have to. And sometimes, because we don't discipline our minds, we don't remember. So, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It is we were healed by those stripes. Stripes, that word, stripes. When they whipped him, and they would have those little metal balls on the end of the leather pieces, and little bone that was sharpened like a razor. When they laid that on his back and pulled it, it would rip the skin. That's what it took for me to be healed, mentally and physically and spiritually. And he did heal us, not just physically, mentally and spiritually. We have been healed. We forget that. When we think about healing, we think about our physical bodies. Think about what he healed in your mind. What he did so that God could present you with the word, so that you could believe. My mind, sometimes I think about it and I think, God, we forget. My mind had, I don't know if anybody else in here did a lot of drugs, but I mean, you know, they mess up your mind. They can really mess up your mind. So somehow or another, God was able to fix that in me. Alcohol does the same thing. Sin does the same thing. You know, our minds needed healing. Our minds needed to be healed. And spiritually, we were definitely healed because we got born again and God gave us his supernatural gift of Holy Spirit. So that healing covers everything. every kind of healing. And sometimes we still need mental healing, don't we? Because the renewed mind is not going to happen overnight. I've been around for 44 years, and my mind's still not where it should be. And I know that. I wish I were the woman I know to be. I really do. But I'm not. So the healing of the mind still goes on continually as we renew the mind and let the Word get into our hearts. And we needed mental healing, did we not? Yeah, we needed a sound mind. Because before I knew what the Word said, I don't think I ever had a sound thought. Well, probably you didn't either, if you're honest. But that healing covers every healing, not just when we're sick or injured, but mentally and spiritually. Every aspect of our lives, He healed. And He was tortured to do that. What He received that night of torment and torture is beyond human comprehension. It just is. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a loving God. If you had a perfect child, would you ever do something like that? Allow that to happen to your child? No. Even your imperfect children, which all of us are or were, even imperfect, you're protective. You want to guard them from danger. You don't want them to be hurt. You know, your parental instinct is to, that's my baby. I don't want anything to happen to my baby. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Unbelievable. God is so much greater than our little pea brains can ever comprehend. What a God. Because he made that promise in Genesis. And Jesus Christ fulfilled it. Unbelievable. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. And that word afflicted means he submitted to that voluntarily. I'm never going to submit to somebody beating me. Never. Never. Nor would I give my child for any of you. Ever. He submitted voluntarily. He was oppressed and he submitted voluntarily. Yet he opened not his mouth. He did not say a thing. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't complain. He didn't cry. He didn't whine. He never once asked God, have them stop. Because he could have gotten how many legions of angels? Yeah. He could have gotten legions of angels to come get him down. And he knew that because he told him. But he never opened his mouth, ever. What a Savior. What a man. Oh, what a Lord. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. In other words, he was taken away. He didn't get any fair treatment whatsoever. None. It was all trumped up anyway. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God permitted it to happen, and Jesus Christ allowed it. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That travail is like toil, struggle, mental anguish. God saw these things and it satisfied his justice. Because God is just. So just that he made that promise, and that God knew that was the only way in the heart of God that he could redeem man. And he's a just God. So this perfect sacrifice satisfied God. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We don't need to go any further. But this entire scripture here was demanded of God. That kind of justice was demanded of God and answerable by Jesus Christ himself. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the Master. And God raised him from the dead. He went through this knowing that God had promised him that promise. Sometimes we don't hold on to a promise of God for 5 minutes. We panic. Right? We panic. He held on to that promise. He went into this believing he would be resurrected. What a man. What a Savior. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. Our brother. He is as much my brother as if I had a flesh and blood brother sitting here. In fact, he's more so. He's my spiritual brother. He's our master. You know, when he was resurrected in the garden and Mary Magdalene was there. And she saw him, but she thought he was the gardener. Can you imagine when he said her name, Mary? Oh! My heart just leaps up in my throat when I read that passage. And she said, Rabboni, Master. She knew who he was and he was her master. He mastered the walk. He mastered life. He mastered peace. He mastered God's justice. He mastered everything so that you and I could sit here and hear the word rightly divided. Thank God for his life. You know, sometimes when you're in your car, just start saying his name. Just start saying his name to yourself. It'll do something to your heart, because a whole lot of things will come flooding through your heart and your mind. It'll really, really bless you. So I want us to go to John 17. That's what the Master did. That's what he accomplished so that you and I could have the righteousness of God. That we could stand before him without guilt, sin, condemnation. God doesn't look at that. He sees Christ when he sees me and you. Always. John chapter 17. This is a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed right before all of these things happen. And I just want to read part of it. And when I get to the verse, you'll see why I'm reading it. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Is that beautiful? And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Isn't that beautiful? He's praying for his apostles, for the apostles. And look what they did in the first century church, how they stood. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's beautiful. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Here it is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Who is that? One of the last things our Lord prayed for was us. Now go to Colossians. He prayed for us. What a prayer partner, huh? Colossians 1, verse 20. Well, we'll start with 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. And here's the answer to his prayer. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the answer to his prayer. So, there's a lot to think about when you think about Jesus Christ, your Lord. A lot of things. Just think what the Word says about him. Just say his name. His name is above all names. Say his name to yourself a few times throughout the day. And your heart and your mind just start getting flooded with beautiful things from the Word that you may forget that you even know. You know? But Jesus Christ, he's the man. And he is a man, and he's still a man. Yes, he's in his new body, but he is still a man. And one of these days, we're going to stand with him. And we're going to look him in the face. And he's going to speak to us personally. So, think about him. Think about who he is and what he's done and what he means to you on a daily basis. Your intercessor, your redeemer, your savior. All of those wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Amen.